Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So Paul's been through some pretty interesting stuff in his life, right? Things that that he recounts for us in 2 Corinthians 12, but he really doesn't give us a whole lot of other information. So first off, one that always strikes people, always catches people off guard, is that he says he is caught up to the third heaven. Well, third heaven? What about the first heaven? What, is there two, three? Is there a fourth heaven? Could it maybe up to seventh heaven? Could there be like 100 heavens? I have no idea. Scripture doesn't really tell us a whole lot about it. I mean, how far up does it go? How do I get to a higher level? Do I want to be in the 100th heaven? Or is it like golf where I want to be in the first one? You know, lowest score is best, right? I don't know how this works. We literally get zero other information. And so this sort of curiosity gnaws at the back of our mind going, what is up with the fact that there are at least three heavens? Why bring it up, Paul, if you're not going to give us any more information? We have questions. We want answers. So when it comes to this idea of a third heaven, and because Scripture doesn't say anything else, and anybody who tells you that they know exactly what this means, they're lying, because Scripture doesn't say anything else about it. But are you content with that? Are you content with the fact that this is the only time we get any mention of levels in heaven? Is that sufficient? Consequently, there's another mystery here. Right? Paul says that in this third heaven, he hears things that man may not utter, which means he cannot tell us about them. Well, what did Paul hear up there in the third heaven? Are we content with the mystery? Are we content with the fact that we will never know? Consequently, another thing pops up in this text, something that has baffled theologians for centuries. Paul says, right, he writes, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Now, some people have made some educated guess that maybe it's like an eye problem, right? Because remember, when he was converted, he saw the bright light and Christ was there and he was blinded for a time and they had to lead him into town and then he was eventually healed. So maybe it's residual from that. Maybe it's an eye problem that he really just wants God to get rid of for him. Other people have guessed that maybe he suffers with migraines. Maybe he's got a speech impediment. We know in 2 Corinthians he's always fighting against these false prophets, these false apostles who, by everything he writes, seem to be more eloquent speakers than Paul is. Maybe that's just it. Maybe there's somebody, like a person, is the thorn. Now, there's just one guy who's particularly irksome to Paul. But you'll never know. Because God's word doesn't tell us. We don't hear about Paul's thorn in the flesh ever again. We have questions. We want answers. Are we content with what we would consider an insufficient amount of information? Welcome to your life. This is literally a description of life, right? We're always dealing with an insufficient amount of information. We want to live good lives. We want to do things that are God-pleasing. We want the right answers at the right time in the right situation so we can make the right decisions and our lives can continue in a good way. We want to have it all. We want to be it all. And like Paul, if something gets in the way, we want it to be removed. We want to get it cut out of our lives. We can't wait to get rid of whatever problem approaches us. And of course, when we don't get what we want, when we pray that God would remove one problem or another, maybe we start to consider that what God has given isn't sufficient. That's what Paul's dealing with. That's what we all deal with. Right, notice what God says to Paul, right? Paul writes, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that the thorn should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God says no. He tells Paul no. God, I'm struggling. I got this problem. I got this thorn. I got this situation. And God says, you'll be fine. I don't know what problems you all have. I don't know what insufficiencies there are in your life. But what if it's just something you have to deal with from now until when the Lord calls you to heaven? What if the problem will never go away? What if God's answer to you when you ask for Him to remove your thorn, what if God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you? We don't like that. Our sin doesn't like that. And in fact, we're taught from very young, especially in our own country here, that that's not good enough. Right? We always need the greatest, the most abundant, the healthiest of everything in life. To settle for sufficient, to settle for mediocre, to settle for this is enough, that's not something we understand. That's not something that's encouraged in our lives. You guys ever been, you know, you drive down the street, right, and you see the bumper sticker, right? My kid is an honor roll student. How many of you have seen, my kid just barely passed? We don't celebrate mediocrity. That's not the way it works. How many of you will say that you make a sufficient amount of money? Right? Someone goes, you know what? You know, you're doing such a great job. I just want to give you a little extra. And you go, no, that's okay. I have a sufficient amount of money. It's not going to happen. Right? I mean, and okay, everybody just says they want to be comfortable. Right? I just want to be financially comfortable. But how many people actually ever admit that they're there? That they have enough? You know, sports are another big one in our country. Who wants to be the most average player? It doesn't happen. Everybody wants to be the all-star. You want to be the MVP. See, our sin, what it does, it struggles with contentment. It struggles with this idea of sufficiency. Having just enough. In our sin, just enough is never enough. We don't want sufficiency. We don't want it in our temporal lives. We don't want it in our eternal lives. We don't want it in the church. Do we have a sufficient amount of people here this morning? I don't even know how many are here. I didn't count. But I know some of us, you know, especially those of you who are older and can remember when all of the pews were filled in the church, and you kind of reminisce about the days of old, and wouldn't it be so nice if our church was filled again? Why don't we look around at who's shown up? And we go, you know what, Lord? You have gathered a sufficient amount of your saints into your house today. Contentment. God doesn't always give us what He wants, or what we want, rather. But He knows what is sufficient for us. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect and weakness. It means that no matter what happens to us in this life, we should know that Jesus is sufficient. His blood shed from the cross is sufficient. His death given in your place is sufficient. His life as a sacrifice for yours is sufficient. The forgiveness He wins for you on that cross is sufficient. And as He rises from the dead 3 days after His death, that resurrection is sufficient to give you eternal life. It is the fact that God cares about you, signed, sealed, delivered. Jesus gives you eternal life. He gives it as a gift. Is that enough? Or do we expect more from God? Do we expect more than His life? Do we expect more than God giving us every good thing? By faith, this grace of God, it's yours. It belongs to you. Jesus has gifted it to you. God is your Father. Jesus will not let anything get in the way of caring for you every single day of your life. And so in the midst of whatever you perceive as insufficiency, in the midst of whatever you perceive is the thorn in your flesh at this particular moment in your life, know that God has placed the thorn there for your good. Imagine for a moment that you didn't have a thorn. Imagine for a moment that everything in your life you were completely content with and everything was completely sufficient. Where does that leave you? If you don't recognize that you are insufficient as a sinner, you won't need to seek Jesus as your Savior. You won't need what he did for you on the cross. If you don't recognize that you have problems in this life, then you won't know that you need a solution. If we don't know that we're weak, we can't look to our Savior, who is the one who is strong. We need our thorns because we need Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with praying for better. There's nothing wrong for praying that God would remove your thorns from you. However, when you lift up those prayers, when you ask God for a solution to your problems, know that his answer might be no. His answer might be that his grace is sufficient for you because his power is made perfect in weakness. My friends, we're going to experience thorns, one thorn or another. We're going to have insufficiency, or what we perceive as insufficiency, in our own lives. But allow those moments, allow those situations to bring you back to Christ. In the midst of things that you cannot handle, focus on what Jesus has done for you. Focus on his death, his blood, his resurrection. Rely on the gift that God has given you in baptism. Allow that thorn in your flesh to bring you to the place where you can eat and drink Christ's body and blood for the strengthening of your faith. Because God will keep you in the faith. All you ought to do is admit who you are. You, me, all of humanity, we are insufficient. Insufficient, thorn-laden creatures who need the sufficiency of God's grace. And today you have received that. For your sins are forgiven. And so with the Apostle Paul, we confess, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My friends, you are strong in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.